Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us on this seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. We welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. How are you doing this morning, Bishop?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing well. And here we are on the last Sunday of February.
Exactly. I know. It's moving quickly.
It is moving quickly.
Greetings to everyone who's listening this morning.
If you would now proclaim today's gospel for us, Bishop.
This is a reading from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 6. And many of us will recognize it in parallel with St. Matthew's Gospel of the Sermon on the Mount, but St. Luke puts it on the plain, on the flatland. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed down, shaken together, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will be in return measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, as you mentioned at the beginning, Luke's Gospel presents what sometimes is called the Discourse on the Plain. Jesus is talking about forgiveness and love for one's enemies.
As I was preparing this, I thought, you know, this is probably one of the most difficult passages of the gospel of Scripture, but it's also at the heart of who we are as Christians. We placate ourselves at times with the name Christian by doing certain acts of mercy. We may feed the poor, which are all wonderful, wonderful things. And they obviously come from something burning in our hearts to help those who are less fortunate. But really here, it's the heart of this passage is, I think, the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. That is what's called the golden rule. It's in every scripture, a sacred book of different religions. You can find it among the Buddhists. You can find it in the Quran. You can certainly find it in the Hebrew scripture, the Old Testament. So we find it everywhere, even before Christ. So this is the heart of the human person, to follow a golden rule, to treat the other one, to do to another what you would have them do to you, or in some it says, do not do to others what you do not want them to do to you. In our tradition, our Judeo-Christian, it is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So the inclusion of the other person is at the heart of our faith. We cannot live our Christian faith with blinders on. And we'll see that in the next, next Sunday, we will be speaking about that. But we have to live a life which is, which calls for everything. You know, when we put heaven as our destiny, everything's measured by that. In fact, the psalm response that we have in today's readings follows actually something that's also in the gospel. The Lord is kind and merciful in Psalm 103. The Lord is kind and merciful. He pardons our iniquities. He heals our ills. He redeems your life. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. He does not treat us according to our sins or our crimes. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he put our transgressions from us. This is who God is in human language. Of course, God is an infinity of love, abyss of love. I also think in speaking about this in our second reading at the liturgy today at Mass is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And toward the end of that short excerpt, St. Paul says, the first man, always comparing Adam to Jesus, the first man was from the earth, earthly. The second is from heaven. As was the earthly one, so also the earthly. And as is the heavenly one, so also the heavenly. And so here, I think, is the heart of it. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly one, meaning Adam, we're in the Adam and Eve, we also bear the image of the heavenly one. To reflect God's image in our life, this passage of St. Luke is, as I said, at the very heart of that with the golden rule. So how do we live in this life? How do we pass through this life in relation to others? Our culture for many, many years now, as psychology has grown and been distorted in some cases, it's all about me. When you read this passage, it's all about the other. It's not about me. It's about me to the degree that it's calling more out of me. It's calling me away from me. It's calling me out of myself into the other. It's calling me out of myself into God.
It's almost like he's looking down at this man, and it may not be comfortable for us to hear what's being said.
And that's because of sin, because when St. Paul is talking about the earthly one, he's talking about the origin of us, which is the human side of us, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, who disobeyed God. That is the heart of sin, is disobedience. Jesus, on the other hand, is the second, who is heavenly, and who wants to restore in us what was lost by disobedience. So his whole life, if you read, as we do, the Gospels about Jesus and pick up, as you're reading through it, his obedience to the will of the Father. Even on the cross, he was obedient even unto death. So his obedience offsets the disobedience of the human nature. And so if we really want to be who we're called to be as Christians, as different denominations of Christianity. So for us as Catholics, Catholic Christians, we have to be obedient to God, to the second nature, which is us, which is internal, which is spiritual. And so that's what I think this gospel is really calling us away from the fallen nature of disobedience and calling us to live the true nature that is given to us and restored in us through Jesus Christ. Unless we follow his words, nobody's going to be perfect. And I think there's many that have tried to be so perfect that they may be in the other place, we might say, because of the offenses against everybody else, them trying to be perfect themselves, they offend others, but and God. But I think, you know, this is really calling us to the more, to be more, not just to love those who love you, but to love those who don't love you.
And as we look at that passage, just rather love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. And I think that really hits a nerve for all of us because, well, we think we'll do good and we're going to score points, so to speak, and get something in return.
Well, if you want, we could say God is a coach. God is the trainer. So he's saying that it's not only that you forgive your enemies, but you do good to them. So if you really want to play on the field, the one that's going to succeed on any field, whether it's the volleyball field, it's not the one that just does, you know, hits the ball over the net, but it's the one that puts out that more energy that can do more. So in the Christian life, which is, as St. Paul speaks of it, as an athlete, we're all athletes for Christ. We're all in a run, in a race. We're in a ring. We're in an arena. We're on a field, which is called the world. To be who we're called to be, we have to make that special extra effort. It's not just to forgive your enemy, but to do good to them. Because you can forgive them and never talk to them. But when you do good, you have to knock on the door. You know, bring them a dinner if they're ill. And the one of the reasons I think for that is not only for our own good, but it also may help the hardness of the other person's heart to help them forgive. When you're embarrassed by someone doing good for you and you don't like that person, that creates confusion in you, which could lead to a conversion. And that's why we are all missionary disciples, as we say, because we're on a mission to bring others to Christ. I might be offended by that person, but I still have the mission to bring them to Christ in some way or another.
Thank you, Bishop. We will continue our conversation on today's Gospel from Luke. We will now take a short break. Please stay with us. Our Shepherd's View will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, on the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. And Bishop, before the break, you were remarking on the golden rule, loving your neighbors and doing good to them. But beyond that, we need to do more. So what are some of those things that we need to do?
Well, I think it's both doing more, but being more. When you're in a situation, and, you know, especially for a guy, the father will say, be a man. So it's really asking you to be more than you've manifested already. So many times we go through life every day. I mean, we all live the minimum, you know. If nothing is really forced upon us, then we'll just kind of live the day in a minimal, with minimal effort, let's say. I always enjoy the question, what do you do every day? And or what's your day like? How do you? And I always say I let God do that because I don't know. You know, even now, this next week, going in to the office or going out to parish, I don't know. That's what's called the planned will of God, and then there's what they call the will of God beneplacito, which means that God's good will. So it's living that one that is the more. How do you embrace what is unexpected of us, and unexpected or unwanted even. I think, you know, it's not just that on our own efforts we do more. It's how we respond, and I want to emphasize this, it's how we respond to a situation. Crises in the family. Dads, do you just take the belt off and start swinging, or do you stop, think, as a man, as a father, what's required of me in this moment? To first of all, discipline. Secondly, to lead a good example. And thirdly, you know, to help this child of mine grow. When we stop and say, okay, more is required of me here as a Christian, as living as the man from heaven, to live the gospel of Jesus, what more is there? Again, it's to discipline the child. It's to be a witness to them, and whatever is done to lead them to a better life and eventually to heaven. So the more is what is called out of us, what's called from us, from within, from the heart, to live that more. And I think, you know, if you go through this gospel again, and I've said this before, but if you wanted to study a gospel, for example, and I print them out because they're easier to read off a piece of paper than from a book fighting the book cover. But just to take a pencil and circle the verbs. So in doing that, it's love, bless, do not curse, turn the other cheek, do not respond to stealing or with anger, give, do to others, forgive, do not judge, do not condemn, and then also in loving your enemies is love those who hate you and mistreat you. And finally, I think something else at the end of this gospel that we could talk about in a moment is to receive. You know, oftentimes in this more and giving and push and push and push and push, nobody wants to push themselves without receiving something. So when you think again back on the athletic field, whichever one it is, or the athletic court, whichever, you would like to receive something. Even if you don't win, you receive some satisfaction in maybe a good shot or a good catch or a good kick, a good hit. There's something there that makes your efforts, with God's grace, worth it. And of course for us, and I guess we'll jump to that now, at the end of the gospel, it says, forgive and you will be forgiven, give and gifts will be given to you. Now that's faith, to believe that if I give love, I receive love. If I give forgiveness, I'll be forgiven. And that's from the Our Father. Good measure, packed down, shaken together, and overflowing. You get back more than you gave. Will be put into your lap. And then the final verse, for the measure with which you measure will in return be measured to you. In other places, it is said, you know, that you will be given eternal life. And that is ultimately what we all long for and should be thinking about, longing for, wanting. All this is about wanting to be with God forever. This is not about just being a good Joe, a good Bonnie. You know, this is about wanting to be a witness, a conduit to God's grace and to receive eternal life. That's our goal. Whether I'm 10, whether I'm 15, whether I'm 70, whatever it is, that is the goal. And when we lose sight of that, we're not going to do any of this extra stuff, this more. Nothing can measure up to the life of God in us, which is to love our enemies, to bless those who curse you. That's the life of God in me, because God has already done that for me, for us, for you, for me. As we said from the gospel, He is the God of all these things. And until I can enter into that depth at some measure, I'm not even going to try. But when I understand that the goal, the prize, is eternal life, and this is the way, then I'm going to make some efforts my way, but also to respond to God's grace in His will, beneplacito, at His good favor.
You know, we talked a little bit during the break about the prisoners, that kind of ministry, those who work with the prisoners, and maybe those who are incarcerated think that there may be no way that they can do good, and maybe some think that they won't be forgiven for what they've done. But you've seen some pretty amazing turnarounds when you've visited the prisons with the chaplains and the other priests.
I know many of them are listening, so I speak very tenderly of you gentlemen. You know, you kept saying about me going in. I think I go in and I find more than I bring. In all the ones that I visit where we go and proclaim the gospel and spend time, I mean, I find these men putting it into practice. We've all done wrong. You gentlemen, did something that was deserved where you are. But it doesn't stop us from living. It doesn't stop us from living the gospel. It doesn't stop us from hearing what we're hearing today. Because these things are demanded of you guys, too, of me and everyone that's listening. The gospel, period, equalizes us, whether you're there or here. None of us can escape the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a sense, that is our, I guess I shouldn't say that's our barrier or our walls, but to live in the gospel is not something we want to escape. It's what gives us life. It's what gives us joy. And I know that, you know, everybody has a bad day. And when I'm, you know, there, I know everybody's happy to see me. I'm happy to see them. So it's a joy. And I know that there's day after day after day after day, the drudgery of life sometimes, even for ourselves. But that's why we have to stay in tune with the gospel. We need to read it every day. We need to pick up something from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John to begin with, and to say, what is the Lord calling me today in those unforeseen moments, those unforeseen encounters, those temptations that may come? What more can I give in to live the life that God wants me to live, the life of the second person, which is Jesus, who is the image and the likeness, the perfect image and likeness of God, who has communicated his word. So when we're talking about justice, there is human justice, but there's also the justice of God. And God sees our hearts. We see actions. God sees a person's heart. He looks deep into us. And I think in that way, too, all of us can be more tolerant with ourselves, even in sin, that yes, I have sinned. Yes, I sin. Yes, whatever it is I've done in the past, I don't, all of these things. But turning one's heart to one's attention to the merciful God who came to us in Jesus Christ and now is giving us the pathway. You know, God doesn't leave us and say, work your way to heaven. Jesus says, that's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here's the roadmap. You know, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. The person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. But the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. So give even more. On and on. Now, again, those logically, from a human point of view, I'm sure many of us struggle with that, to say that this is insane. Yes, it is insane because it's in God. So it's beyond human sanity. It's in the divine sanity, which is the word of God been brought to us by Jesus Christ.
And when you said earlier, it depends on your reaction to certain situations. And I guess for me, it's to stop and think about what my initial reaction would be, and then maybe choose a different, more appropriate reaction, to respond in a way that would show the face of Christ to those who we're interacting with.
And I've talked about this several times, about examination. An unexamined life is not worth living. So yeah, I may make a grave mistake, and I should use that for self-examination, not for self-condemnation, but for self-examination so I don't do it again. And I understand that I was in a certain frame of mind and in life when that happened, but that's not the path I want to take. You put it in reverse and go the other way.
Well, thank you, Bishop, for your insight and your time this morning. We appreciate it. If you would close the program now with a prayer and a blessing.
This is always the prayer of the Mass for today. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that always pondering spiritual things, we may carry out in both word and deed that which is pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.